Good afternoon. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. Yes, my name is Gail Hunt. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So I know you, Dilly, and Carrie-Anne, so it's nice to be listening to you and Mr. Forsythe. Very good. So, yeah, I wanted to join in the debate that you're having in terms of looking at the Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which someone has spoken about earlier. And the convention was signed in 2006 and ratified in 2013. So for me, now we're at a stage where the solutions are there and we know what needs to be done, and it's time for actual action. The discussions are wonderful. They're good because they help to sensitize persons and to highlight the various different areas that need improvement. For example, we do need a register. Okay, we need a register. We need to know what categories of persons with disabilities are in Barbados. You know, just for basic things, well, not basic, but we need it for things such as, say we have our national disaster preparedness implementation. What national disaster preparedness implementation is there for persons with disabilities? Is there a contingency plan in place for persons with disabilities if we were to, say, have a hurricane? Okay, so that's why we need to have a register. We need to know where they're located and what type of disabilities and challenges they have. In terms of the government now, it's time for the government to start actually looking at the different things that usually we're speaking about in terms of employment for persons with disabilities. And also in terms of the schools, the teaching, the type of teaching that's been provided for children and the support that's been given to parents. I myself am from the UK and I've lived in Barbados for several years. And when I was in the UK, I worked in residential social work. And the work that I was doing involved me developing plans and policies that would help the persons with the disability, be it physical or intellectual, be able to function in society and have a certain quality of life that was afforded to other people. That means that these persons were able to have access to education, be it at the college level or university level, and any difficulties that they would have or could possibly encounter would have been implemented in the planning process, so that when they got to the college, the staff were prepared and able to help them. Okay, these things are very important. There's no point in having a convention that's been signed and then we're still discriminating and our society is not inclusive. And at the moment, Barbados is not inclusive. You know, if I was a person who had a child with a disability and I was from overseas, I would myself would find it very challenging to come here to live because of the fact that the government is not doing enough. It has to be said, more needs to be done. So while it's great that we're having these discussions, I really sincerely hope that the ministers are listening in on this show and the policymakers are listening in, and that persons with disabilities are able to sit at the table and be involved in every single sector of decision-making that goes on at the government level. A person with a disability needs to be sat on that board, in that committee, so that they can give their input. If you're going to be doing a planning to build a new park, a person with a disability needs to be on that committee so that they can say, okay, then in terms of accessibility into the park, this is what needs to be done.
So Gail, I agree with everything you said. And one of the things that sparked what I'm thinking now in terms of signing this agreement in 2006 and ratifying it in 2030, we're in 2019. And that's where, like, the whole idea of timelines. You see, so, like, for instance, on Tuesday, and Education Minister Sonia Bradford announced that a blue ribbon panel was being developed to develop a white paper on special education in a couple of months. Now, for me, that's another panel, that's another recommendation, that's another document, but it doesn't represent any action. So my thing is, for us to say exactly like what the person said, what are some of the quick wins, as they call it, low-hanging fruit? What are some of the short-term things that we can do? Can we put a time and a budget and an implementation date on it? Can we break soil? Can we make something happen? And what responsibility do your organizations hold in making these things happen? Do we just lobby? What else can we do? What are you doing as organizations to bring these things into the realm of action?
Well, I can start by saying Barbados Council for the Disabled, and I'll take the liberty of saying Anne Barnard. We have been working on several programs over the years. We have the fully accessible Barbados program at the Barbados Council for the Disabled. Barnard has been championing issues related to employment. They have their program, their job prep program. I just couldn't remember the name, old age. We had the job prep program with Barnard and the Barbados Council for the Disabled. They run various other programs. We used to have a sexual reproductive health project. Not that that's not important still, but we turned attention to some other issues. We run our literary competition, and it's not just a competition just to give children an opportunity to win a prize or to write an essay. It is an opportunity to educate, because the children have to go and do research when they're preparing their essays, and that's broadening their minds. And so they, you'll be surprised some of the innovative thoughts and actions that come up from these children. We have other projects that we have been encountering. But, Corey, the truth is that resources are limited. And there are programs, the Maria Holder Memorial Trust, for example, they just celebrated their 10th anniversary. They've been given a lot of support over the years, the Barbados Community Foundation, a number of other donor agencies. They have been given resources, the Aspire Foundation. A lot of them have been there trying to do their work. We in the organizations, the Autism Association, they've been doing many programs. They used to do a lot of work in the area of respite. They do a lot of work in education. There is the Council's More Than Words project, which helps to train people to understand how persons with autism communicate to the society, communicate to their families, to their caregivers. There's a broadening approach, many different projects and programs. The National United Society of the Blind, we continue to run a whole host of different activities to, you know, encourage people to understand what is going on in disability, but we can't do it on our own, right? We need society to come along, sit with us, work with us, support us. Because over the years, there are many people out there, like the lady called in just now, Gail Hunt. She and a lot of other persons, able-bodied persons, they work alongside us as well and support the initiatives. But we need more resources, not just financial. We also need physical. We need human resources. And like we said earlier, it's not a give-give. It's not a take-take-take situation. We want to work with people in order to broaden. There are so many other projects and programs that we have had. The council used to have a justice improvement program where we worked with many agencies to help them to understand how to work with persons with disabilities. For example, the Royal Barbados Police Force, the Fire Service, they also were beneficiaries, and some of them have incorporated it into their training projects. So there is a lot that has been going on and that continues to go on.
Well, Corey, just to pick up from where Carrie-Anne is speaking, I like to keep things real. And the reality is that out of the 11,000 people with disabilities in Barbados, and I believe the number is higher because that was since 2010. Since then, we've had people with many illnesses, experienced vehicular accidents, domestic violence situations, who would have acquired disabilities, right? And out of that number, a very small percentage of people with disabilities and parents get involved with the organizations. And today I'm challenging persons with disabilities who are not part of any organization to come out and add your voice and speak to some of the things you want to see happening to improve your own lives, as well as the lives of others who may not be able to speak, right? Then I also want to challenge the parents. Don't feel ashamed, because if we, your children, are bold enough to stand up and say, here I am with my disability, and I am proud of being a human being who may be blind or a wheelchair user, then you as the parent should be able to come alongside me and speak to some of the issues as well. Because it's challenging, and this is apart from your other personal issues that you have to confront. So I'm saying, parents, people with disabilities, get involved.
Definitely.
There are enough organizations that you can come and add your voice. Because when you speak, it means that we will call attention to some of the challenges we are facing. Barnard is called on almost on a daily basis to assist individuals with disabilities. And we do it privately. People might say, well, we don't see you all in the papers handing out food hampers and so on. We want to preserve the dignity mm-hmm. of the individuals with disabilities. Mm-hmm. Yes, we provide those hampers. We provide care packages. We provide, we get funding from the public, government, individuals, corporate entities. And we will provide those type of care packages. We also help individuals who want to further their education, whether it's a computer course, it's an event planning course, whatever they're interested in. We try to work with the individuals to develop skills, because through the job prep program, where we do 1 week of World of Work type of training, help get people with disabilities sensitized and, you know, knowledgeable about what is required of them going into the workforce or even establishing their own businesses, then we try to get employers to provide the same level of internship to people with disabilities.
All right. Dennis, want to make a point?
Yes, Gloria. One of the biggest challenges, I think, facing persons with disabilities, and Kerry mentioned it earlier, I think, is one, being able to add, to identify what is a disability and then how you react to it. And you can't tell that someone has a disability by looking at them. Mm-hmm. I look perfectly normal. Well, I hope I do. I look perfectly normal. But I have some issues. I had to identify myself as a person with a disability to be able to adjust. For example, I couldn't climb the stairs to the National Stadium to get to the broadcast booth at the top.
Right.
Because there are no rails to hold on to. Yep. And after about 3 or 4 steps, my legs give out and I crumble. When I couldn't drive because I couldn't get my foot to go from the gas to the brake, I had to take the bus. But I couldn't climb the steps on the transport board bus because they were too high. Mm-hmm. I fell out on more than one occasion. The issue about the size of the aisles at the supermarket, you have now provided sit-down trolleys, but they can't get through the space. Mm-hmm. You have buildings being designed or redesigned with stalls for use for persons with disabilities to go to the bathroom. But the door to the entrance to the bathroom is too small for a wheelchair to pass through. Mm-hmm. So what's the point of having the booth inside? Or ATM machines still high rather than low down for, you know, people who can sit in a chair and use it. So, or even the ramp. But here's the thing, and this is why I'm making this comment. When we keep talking about government has to, the private sector needs to call the organizations and say to them, look, I'm redesigning my public area. I'm changing the layout of my building. Can you give me the specifics so I could give it to my contractor or my architect? Because they design beautiful buildings.
And there are specifics out there. Mm-hmm.
And they are available. Yes, it's as easy as Google, I suppose, if you want to do it.
Yes.
But the BNSI, no, National Standard
Please
Institution.
Don't
the BNSI, they have the building code.
Yes, and Articles 8 and 9 specifically address.
But more effectively as well, if you call up EPD, they will tell you what the requirements are for mm-hmm. stalls for disabled persons' access.
Mm-hmm.
So there are facts and figures out there to be taken advantage of.
And when it does call the Barbados Council for the disabled. Yeah, exactly. Yes. We go right back to where we started. Ask a question.
But it gives you the realization just what the scope of the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not somebody in the street who's blind, and it's not somebody in a wheelchair. There is a fantastic width and breadth of this problem, which is never thought of holistically, as they say, to think of a solution for. If I can just come back to Corey, you asked a couple of minutes ago, well, what are the wins that we've managed to make over the years? I'm very glad to say that there was a private sector venture which created, there's no other word for it, they created the Derek Smith School up in Lear's.
A
couple of years
model.
Ago, which is a fantastic model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was designed specifically for all sorts of disabled persons. And straight away, they are full of disabled people.
And
now
you
wonder two things to yourself. Where did they come from? And suddenly they're accommodated. But suddenly you realize again that if you built another Derrick Smith school right next door to it, that would be full as well. Now, there's two issues here. One, I'm glad to say that the government did partner with the private sector in running that school, which is great. So they have contributed. But the other big issue is that we sometimes lose focus on is that, as Eudene said, we want to be the same as everybody else. There should be sectors or parts of schools, regular schools, which do cater for disabled persons of all sorts, which means that they can grow up next to neurotypical or completely abled persons. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to feel separate and special. Mm-hmm. We don't want to feel separate and special. We want to feel like the rest of the population.
Correct. Whenever I ask that question all the time, I give the same answer as I give with co-eds. I believe that schools, even though they're co-ed, even at certain things, you can have like single sex classes, but a co-ed school. And the same thing with the disabled. Some you may have to do specific classes, but I believe that they should have classes together, and they should be in school together. Mm-hmm. You understand? So that assimilate.
That's where your education begins for the next generation.
Correct.
So we are not seen as outside of society.
Correct. And because that will send its own signal and then reinforce the different problems that we're having. We'll try to take a couple more calls before we head to the end of the program, which is just around the corner as usual. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, please. I've been holding for quite a while, so go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, we're hearing
loud
and clear.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I am one of the persons who have had to make a 360 degree turn because I was not born with a disability. I acquired one in the last couple of years. And in trying to make myself adjust and readjust and be still maintain my independence, I had to educate myself. And I think one of the problems that people with disabilities and challenges is that we ourselves need to educate ourselves on what we are, what our limits are, and what our capabilities are. For instance, my own home was almost a prison because when I acquired my disability, it came suddenly. And nothing in my house, my own house, I couldn't cope with. I couldn't reach things in the cupboard. I couldn't get clothes out of my wardrobe. My bathroom was like no way could I take a shower as I normally would. So everything in my home had to be readjusted for me to be able to even function in my own home. So you can imagine if that's the case in my own home, what it's going to be like in the public sphere. I have a disability that if you see me in a car sitting behind my steering wheel, you will not assume that I have a disability. If I'm sitting at a table, you will not know. The only way you will know I have a disability is when I try to stand up. And therefore, even though I can drive, my problem is now that I go into a parking spot, which is marked for the disabled, but the space between the lines has not changed. I travel with an electronic mobility device, but I can't get out of the car to bring it to the driver's side because the space is only the same space as a regular park. These are the challenges that I face on a daily basis, just trying to do basic things like go shopping, going to the bank. I go to cash out my groceries, and the debit card reader can't. I'm sitting. I can't reach it properly. It's connected to wires that don't allow it to come to my level. Things like that. There's certain places that I can shop at because they do provide the electronic cart for me to do my shopping. Other places don't have, or even if they could, they're aisle. So I can only shop at certain places. The other thing that for me is most important is many people with disabilities, or even people who are ill, have to use special medical or let's say sanitary devices or whatever to make them more to help them to live a better quality of life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. some of the things you cannot purchase in Barbados, you have to bring them in. Mm. You bring them in, the duties that you have to pay before they get to your door are astronomical. Mm. And if we're talking about quality of life, things that people that have all their abilities, quote-unquote normal, take for granted. If you are ill or bedridden and you have to, you or your caregivers have to, let's say, buy a pack of adult diapers, for instance. Those things, if you check the few places that stock them in Barbados, and I say few that stock them, they are extremely expensive. So you are not just talking about a food bill, a light bill, a water bill. You are talking about the basic things to make your life livable.
Yes, well, you've hit the nail on the head on quite a few unknown things which nobody ever thinks of unless you are disabled. Mm-hmm. And I take it from the point of view of mobility, the town planning authority recognizes that there are disabled drivers out there. They do specify that the space for a disabled person's parking spot should be 20 feet by 12 feet. Not every developer comes up with the exact same figure, although the town planning do give good authority and mm-hmm. they do get after people who don't promote those. But then you have pretty ignorant people parking in a disabled person's spot. I see this every day, especially in Wildey, right outside Carter's store.
And get very offended if they're asked to move.
And they get very worked up if it's pointed out that that spot is for a disabled person, and that's why it's right next to the door.
Quick closing words from each of you. The music is telling us that we have to go. I didn't want to go on this type of note, but Eulaleen, was your closing.
Well, Corey, as I said at the beginning and very close to the end, mm-hmm. I really want to appeal to persons with disabilities and the parents, caregivers, to get involved. The last caller really solidified my point that our experiences, our day-to-day experiences, and what we require to function and live a good quality life needs to be heard so that people truly understand what we are experiencing and how they can also support us in achieving some of our goals.
Carrie-Anne.
Corey, first of all, thanks for having us. But more importantly than that, this is a discussion that hasn't ended today. We need to continue because we barely started. There are so many challenges, but there's so many successes that we have had. And I would encourage persons to get involved, as Yudli said, not just by joining the organizations, but doing your little bit in wherever you are to highlight persons with disabilities. And I go back to where I started by saying, just ask a question, just seek out information. And by that, you will improve and increase the quality of life for not just persons with disabilities, but for all citizens in Barbados.
And I think, just to close very quickly, there's no reason why in a small economy, in a small island, that we can't get this right. Mm-hmm. We keep on paying lip service to, oh yes, we recognize this body and we recognize that body, and we've just had a meeting with the Barnard people or with the disabled people. But what is the concrete result of it? If it takes so many years between 2006 to 2013 to ratify, and then you say, okay, well, what's happened between 13 and 19? The answer in many cases is not very much. Even not things enough. Such as decent sidewalks for regular Barbadians on the south coast, as well as for tourists. Why can't we get that done?
Thank you very much. I want to thank each and every one of you. Thank you, my producer and technical operator, and of course, Williams Industries Incorporated, for helping us to bring this program to you. I want you to enjoy your Kaduman tomorrow and your Cropova Monday. I'm your host, Corey Lane, saying Lane out.